I suppose it was only a matter of time before I stumbled onto areas of language that try to describe the undescribed. This week, that simplest of words, the singularity that stems from ancient plurals, is the subject of unspoken words. This week, unspoken words reflects on the word God. Like many people who work at home, I sometimes dread the doorbell ringing of an afternoon. It signals an uncertainty, a small tear in the fabric of my habit, my routine, pushed to one side, disrupted by the intrusion of the rest of the world literally knocking at my door. For many cultures, a doorway is a metaphor for the gateway between worlds, heaven and earth, the world of the living and the underworld, the crossroads, the place of chance, of accident, of chaos amongst the order. The doorway is the natural habitat of the trickster. A god amongst gods, who can travel between the world of gods and humans, disrupting and interfering. Something which is each and every face of the throne dice. The raven sometimes, a crow at others, a coyote, Loki of the Nordic gods, Hermes, the con man cattle farmer of Olympus, the monkey god, Eshu, our own wily fox, the inventive and unpredictable animus gods amidst the pluralistic collectives of deities that once tied together the harmonic tensions and discords that tuned the ancient world in its cycles of creation and reincarnation. But back here at home, what I answer is not a knock upon a metaphorical door. It is mine inasmuch as I can possess anything, and as I walk towards that door, the next thing which occurs to me is a thought projecting into my presumptions about what the two silhouettes that shadow the frosted glass of my entranceway have come for. I imagine that for them, every doorstep is a potential crossroads, and I guess, from previous experience, what they might have come to ask me this very afternoon. Is there a God? And I remembered something Marcel Duchamp said when someone made a similar inquiry of him. He said, "That's not a very interesting question." So I think to myself that when they ask, will they be referring to a singularity, an everything in everything, of everything, like absolutely everything? Is that what God is? Because it does seem that there is everything, even if we're not quite sure what everything is comprised of. And as I turn the handle of the door that leads onto the intrusive outside world, I realize that without prompting, one question simply generates for me the next. What is God, anyway? Just as, skipping over the brief introductions, the two people at the door begin their argument. One of them says, "Do you believe in God?" And I swarm back through my thoughts, reversing into that singularity again, how many become one, and one could be entirely it, of course, though it takes two to argue, and three to make an illegal gathering, a left and a right to make stereo. Two eyes enables a more effective sense of perspective, fingers, ten of, if you include the opposable thumbs, which it seems silly not to, even though we only use them for the spacebar on the keyboard these days, not the grip of quill or nib. They're still handy for a corkscrew, shoelaces, zips, buttons, turning keys. Everything. And I realized I'd just said it out loud, and it didn't actually sound like a reply. I was thinking about the pressures of land use, of global warming, about our dependence on fossil fuels, and suddenly these bits of everything were overcasting my silent thoughts. Droughts, fire, all those sorts of everything. And I thought, if you believe in that, you believe in everything. And I suddenly didn't feel so sure anymore. I mean, what is the point in believing in everything, and what difference is there if you don't? If you don't believe in God, one said, leafing through their suitcase as if for a small reward. If I don't believe in everything, I replied, correcting the statement, feeling a twinge, a tiny pang, that I actually wished they might casually drift off. I'd just had a friend staying, an adamant friend. The practical and theological meanings of the word host danced through me, shimmering out like ripples from that twinge. The host, me, a host, Tamida, they called it in his country. The rituals that maintain the metaphor of sacrifice, sacrifice for, sacrifice by. The universality of suffering, the desire for transcendence. Who wouldn't want to exist outside the body, beyond the limits and endurance of flesh, out there in immortality? Anyway, I thought, how do you empower a definition, a universal theory? Fire particles round a giant tunnel and smash them into a wall in search of that God particle, that which once existed before all else and from which all else has since formed? A big bang, a singularity, a great, big, all-containing, all-defining oneness? The beginning of the universe? Or the limited edge of consciousness? The wizard hiding behind the curtains at the edge of the world stage? A ghost whose trace is evident, but not enough to quite convince. Why worry? Why not be everything and be done with it?
Can I help you?
They... us... We... No. Them... Other... Not me. Somehow... foreign. Aliens. Not so familiar. If not strangers. Exactly. Not kin. Cousin, neighbor, compatriot, friend even. Not relative. No. Clansmen... Tribespeople, family, fellows, or, well, comrades, then, buddies, teammates, loyalty, brotherhood, sisterhood, you could say bonded, birthrights, commoners, there's always difference, not so much, sometimes, very little, in fact, to go on, but how to put it, the same. Confusing, I know, but it's obvious, isn't it? From looking, I mean, no. You, perhaps. More closely, I, then. Same as ever, indirectly or by marriage, even clandestine. Could be linked somehow, orphaned, roots. Roots. Go back far enough, we're all in common, I mean, that much once. Supposedly, under the skin, the sun. Eye of God, nook, cranny, outpost, the world, eventually. Over time, colors bleed into each other, like dye, like beige. Beige. The universe, after all, is... Yes. As far back as that. Yes, as far back as that. Same rock, same star, day, night, white, black, sea, shore. No, not seashore. Like looking for language, accent, dialect. Same word, different... Tense. Before, after, now. The thing in common. Similar. Anyway. Peas in a pod. Pair of aces. Full house. Karma. Death. Ghosts, then. Ghosts! Ghosts don't bother with it, do they?
No, I'm sorry. No, not today. Thank you.
Their energy is in conversion. I can feel it behind my visitors' smiles. The political map bends its cloth around the purple robes of faith. Whether heavenly vision or apostate-hating conviction, the gradients are infinite, permeating or polluting, depending where you are, what you see, think, consider, where the powers lie. Kafka left it all aside, Metamorphosis and others. His claustrophobic world had no sense of faith. It had mysteries that were entirely human, although at their nexus, at the heart, they pulsed with the secret power of state. The endless clerks and minions, as fit for theological administrations as for any secular ones. A cog only works when fixed, among many others, in the watchwork mechanism of spiritual metaphor. Like comparing the brain to a computer, it seems to make sense, but it also shapes sense, so that rather than a computer imitating a brain, we reach the stage where it seems like a good idea for the brain to imitate a computer. That's the point where artificial intelligence arises. It's not the computer which has become intelligent, it's us that think it so. We become godlike. Having compared ourselves to a god, we reach the stage where it seems the god must be more like us, a human form. A great leap. Two angels on my doorstep, or two dark riders, like those in Cocteau's Orphée, come to convert, to collect a conscious tithe, to give me the chance to ride with them, to ride and ride like three out of the four horsemen, in search of the one everything that would complete the team, fulfill our quest, pull the sword from the stone, fire and truth ablaze, the world in flames, Joan of arcing in sparks and heat, rising into heaven, putting up with the stench of burnt and sizzled flesh. So I say yes. I do think that everything exists. As to what that is precisely, well, therein lies language and the joy of description. Everything is poetic, and for such everythings, I am truly grateful. Nietzsche had already lain down the fertile ground. Everything being infinite can never be entirely understood or represented, while its being at the same time isn't really in doubt. The poet, the artist, the philosopher all tend to decide on which aspects of everything to leave in and which to leave out, which may result in illuminating a truth of a certain kind, but one that is relative to everything included as much as it is to everything which is omitted. Inclusion and omission are the two sides of our human currency. Inclusion and omission are the two sides of our human world and God world exchange. Alain de Botton, in The Art of Travel, says, a poet who, though less factual than a journalist in describing an event, may nevertheless reveal truths about it that find no place in the other's literal grid. Well, that's it for this episode of Unspoken Words. To find out more about Unspoken Words and upcoming events, check out The Poetry Point at www.thepoetrypoint.wordpress.com. My name is Mac Dunlop, and thanks for listening. Bye for now.